Welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Liat Meyerfeld, and it's been an honor to learn the book of Vayikra with you, which we finished this week with a double reading of Parashat Behar and Bechukotai. When our son was 5 years old, he thought that learning about the sacrifices was the coolest thing ever. I was thrilled that he loved learning Torah, but I'm not sure his perception was exactly what the Tanaim intended. Let those who are pure engage with what is pure. Yavo Teorin v'itasku b'teorim. We learn that this should be the first part of the Torah we teach our children. The book of Vayikra has some of the most complicated content, and maybe the stories of Bereshit are more appropriate. Why not teach Torah in the order it was written? The Jewish people reach Mount Sinai less than 2 months after leaving Egypt. Almost a year later, on the first of Nisan, the Mishkan is established. The book of Shemot ends and the book of Vayikra begins. Then 1 month later, on the first of Iyar, the book of Bamidbar begins with preparations for travel. We realize that the entire book of Vayikra, everything we have learned together, took place during the month of Nisan at the start of the second year. What happened during this month? After the revelation at Mount Sinai, Sefer Vayikra unfolds as the ideal spiritual blueprint of how a nation lives in relationship with the divine. Melody, harmony, and rhythm unfold like a symphony in three movements, mind, heart, and momentum, and then resolve with clarity. Torah Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. Movement 1. Parshas Vayikra, Tzav, and Shmini, Torah Yisrael, movement of the mind. This is the world of Kolbanot, precision, halacha. It's structured, exacting, almost technical. It builds our relationship with Hashem, understanding how to approach Him, how to act, how to live deliberately. It's the mind learning how to dialogue with God, connecting with Him on the holiest of levels. Movement 2. Parshat Tazria, Metzorah, Achremot, Kedoshim, and Emor. These relate to the purity of Am Yisrael, the movement of the heart, and how to maximize potential in daily living. The focus shifts to the people, the Kedusha of our deepening relationships. This is where it becomes emotional, where the rhythm is as one nation with one heart, clarifying how to feel, how to love, connect, and live that spirituality together. And now movement 3, the tune of momentum in Parashat Behar directs us to life in Eretz Yisrael. The symphony moves into lived reality in time and space, cycles, land, Shemitah. It's not just understanding and feeling. This is actualization of Kedusha taking form. Every step in the land, every action in daily life propels us to spirituality. Kedusha is no longer in theory. It's in motion. And after these 30 days of fundamentals, Parashat Bechukotai is the graduation from Har Sinai. We are ready to take spirituality from potential to resolution. Here everything comes together. If you walk in my statutes, in Bechukotai Telechu, it's no longer mind or heart or action separately, it's integration. A person who lives this way has clarity, alignment, and that alignment draws down bracha. When all the movements are in sync, then life itself harmonizes to united chords. Why should pure children start with Vayikra? Because before every journey, one must be prepared with a goal in mind. The three fundamental principles show our children what they are striving for. The book of Vayikra paints the big picture and gives clarity. This month at the foot of Mount Sinai is intense, but its description of pure spirituality and a life of blissful Kedusha sets the stage for the symphony of a lifetime. Parashat Behar. We enter the final movement of the composition with specific laws in the land of Israel. It's a melody that takes us back to the farthest recesses of our collective memory. Adam HaRishon was created from the holy and pure land of Israel, the very soil of the future Mikdash. The book of Genesis begins not just with creation, but with rootedness in our land. Then comes Avraham, who is told, Lech Lecha, not just to leave, but to go towards a place, a direction, a destiny. And once he arrives, he doesn't just pass through the land. He experiences it fully, north to south, east to west. The land is not a backdrop. It's part of the encounter with Hashem. And that pattern continues. The land becomes the stage on which every major spiritual moment of the Avot unfolds. Altars are built there. Promises are spoken there. Covenants are formed. When Yaakov dreams of the latter, it is in our land itself that heaven and earth meet. He wakes up and realizes this is none other than the house of God. So what begins in Bereshit is not yet a nation, but a direction, a pull, a spiritual gravity that keeps drawing everything back towards one place. The book of Exodus is the story of a nation outside its land, developed in Egypt and learning to connect with Hashem even in exile. And now, as the Torah moves into Vayikra and beyond, that connection returns to the land. The melody becomes legislation. The abstract becomes lived reality. The land is no longer only remembered. It will be re-entered, structured, and sanctified through actions. We are in position on the cusp of a new dance. One of the biggest counterfeits in life is believing that comfort is happiness. We are lulled into thinking that if life feels easy, we are happy. But the deeper truth is not always so. This was the pitfall of life in the desert. They had everything. Miriam's well, daily man, clothes that never wore out, Moshe as their teacher, korbanot, the fragrant ketores, and the ananea kavod, protecting and guarding them. And yet, when given the chance to leave, they were afraid. Comfort had become mistaken for happiness. Now, as the Torah moves into the mitzvot of the land, the focus shifts to how truly happy life is ideally lived. The laws of Eretz Yisrael teach that fulfillment and completion are only realized when we live in covenant with Hashem in His land, through the mitzvot that shape that reality. As the chosen nation, we testify to Hashem's creating and sustaining the world by keeping Shabbos. And Eretz Yisrael, the chosen land, testifies too, through Shemitah in the seventh year, Kili Haaretz, that the land belongs to Hashem, that everything belongs to Him. In fact, our Parsha doesn't use the word Shemitah at all. The concept is called Shabbat Haaretz, the Shabbos of the land, in whichever accent I say it in. Eretz Yisrael is described as a living entity. It keeps Shabbat. The laws of Shemitah are the linchpin for the trilogy, the original trilogy. We the people, with our God, are only complete when we are in the land of Israel. Parshat V'chukotai, the finale. What will the future bring? We are described the unfortunate vision if we are fragmented, and also told how our reality will look if all the energy, story, and motion of everything beforehand is gathered, resolved, and held together in a meaningful moment. When I read the Parsha, the first thing I noticed is that the blessings describing a utopian reality of spiritual clarity number 10 psukim, then 30 psukim of rebuke. Doesn't seem like very positive thinking. The Ibn Ezra comments on this juxtaposition and says, V'rekei moach amru, those with empty minds say, he's talking to me. Ki haklalot rabot me'abrachot, that the curses are more than the blessings. However, that's not the truth, he says. Rather, the Torah speaks of the blessings in general terms and lists the curses in detail in order to frighten and scare the listeners. And the blessings will happen im bechokotai telechu, if you will walk in my statutes. And the curses, im, if this will happen, if this will happen, telling us that it is very conditional. What I say, says the Ibn Ezra, will be clear to one who learns the text carefully. So now I've come out empty-minded, but he tells me to go and learn carefully. It's probably always better to learn in depth before commenting in a shallow way. So let's look deeply at the blessings that include within them all the blessings, starting with Aleph and ending with Tav. What we will notice is that the Torah is not describing a utopian fantasy world, but rather our physical natural world at its best. The music begins softly, almost imperceptibly, like water trickling in nature, barely heard, but very present. Blessing 1, rain coming at its time, and immediately blessing 2, as a result the fields and trees will bear produce, this is the natural result of the rain. Then we are described an ideal yearly cycle. The threshing overtakes the vine harvest, and the vine harvest overtakes the sowing. This is a blessing of overwhelming abundance, so much productivity that the cycle of work flows continuously from one stage to the next. Rain comes, the land produces, and there is no pause in the flow of blessing. Our lives are full of constant overflowing fruitfulness, work that never runs dry. It doesn't seem like you'll get a vacation, but you'll have a life of sustained bracha and overflowing productivity. These blessings are to have nature at its best, flourishing and abundant. We are in alignment with Hashem in the natural world, and our partnership with Him in sustaining Parnassa plays harmonious notes throughout the rhythms of creation. Next blessing. This wonderful natural world, you will live securely in this land. There will be peace in the land, and you will lie down without fear. Peace in the land describes internal peace, where we as a nation accept and love each other unconditionally, a peace where we clearly see the Tzelem Elohim of our friends and neighbors. Amen. Lie down without fear. These couple of years, we finally understand the north, the south of Israel. For years, we were told that people couldn't sleep at night, and we didn't fully grasp it. Now, unfortunately, we do. in Israel lying in bed at night, worried about potential rockets and safe rooms. Hearing a helicopter often means a soldier being evacuated, and we fall asleep uneasy, waiting for the news in the morning. And outside Israel, too, there's a constant worry for soldiers and civilians, refreshing the news but not wanting to see it. This isn't normal. By the laws of nature, people should be able to sleep calmly at night. This blessing that we now feel so deeply is not to be taken for granted. Halevai. And then comes the next blessing. I will banish wild beasts from the land, and no sword shall cross your land. These are actually two separate ideas. In biblical times, wild animals were a real threat, even entering cities. We still echo this in Tfilat HaDerech, asking to be saved from Chayot Ra'ot, wild beasts. Though today we mostly use it metaphorically, like calling a reckless driver a Vilde Chaya, but then it was literal. The Gemara debates how this plays out. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sees it as a miraculous vision. Hashem will change nature itself, back to Gan Eden reality where no animals were predators. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says it's more natural. Animals remain wild, but stay out of human spaces. Clear boundaries, safe living. And that, many say, is the greater blessing. And no sword shall cross your land. We will not even see a sword. Nowadays in Israel, it seems so normal to us to see soldiers with their weapons. Soldiers come home, and even when they're wearing normal civilian clothes, they still have their weapon. They come to family gatherings, go shopping, out to eat. And that seems normal to us all over Israel. Imagine what a blessing to raise children who have never seen weapons. In Israel of today, this seems supernatural, but no guns in the street. This is really how the natural world should be. The final blessing of peace, your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Wait! Hashem has already promised that there will be no swords in the land. How are we now here fighting? The last few years, people have been singing, Od Yavo Shalom Aleinu Ve'al Kulam. I always dreamed it as a vision of peace, love, and happiness, almost in that tie-dye 60s kind of way. What is the Torah's definition of shalom? It's not a naive, lovey-dovey peace where conflict disappears. The Torah is describing something far more grounded, a world where most nations stand in awe of Israel, even if some still choose to fight. And if they do, we will be victorious. But those battles won't define life in the land. They won't enter the space of Kedusha. If enemies rise, they will be defeated there, on their soil, not ours. Because shalom in the Torah's vision is not the absence of enemies, but a settled reality of stability and security, where conflict does not shake who we are or how we live. In our relationship with the nations, fear gives way to steadiness. It's not a static piece, but a quiet unfolding, and we are like a dancer, hearing the music build, poised and ready to move. And the final blessing, I will turn to you, Hashem promises, a relationship with Him. It is our relationship with Hashem that will bring this bounty, and because we are so connected to Him, V'natati mishkani betochechem, I will dwell amongst you. V'italachti betochechem, and I will walk amongst you. Spirituality will be palpable. We will sense Hashem constantly in our everyday lives. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt, broke the yoke off your neck, and ending with the ultimate of all blessings, V'olech etchem komimiyut. I will make sure you walk erect, straight, and proud. Komimiyut is a word that only appears here in the Torah. Let's try to hear the music of this grand finale. Imagine it. Animals working with the yoke have their heads forced down, unable to look up or around, just moving forward. In Tanakh, that becomes a mashal for oppression, burdened, constrained, without true freedom. Breaking the yoke is redemption, the ability to lift your head, to see, to choose, to stand with your own integrity. And that is komemiyut. The sound gathers into a crescendo and we step into it, Hashem lifting us to be upright and free. Rashi explains komemiyut simply, koma zekufa, walking upright. The Midrash adds, afraid of no one. This bracha is both personal dignity and national independence, to stand and act according to what is right and true and good. It's not the reality we fully know now. We are still often dependent on other nations in many ways. Komemiyut is the promise that we can rise beyond that, not just as an idea, but as the ultimate bracha. The Gemara in Kiddushin adds an important dimension. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, a person should not walk 4 amot fully upright, based on the pasuk, Melo kol ha'aretz kevodo. The world is filled with Hashem's presence. We are meant to carry a sense of humility, aware that we do not fill the space ourselves. This is also a source for wearing a kippah, a reminder that there is always Hashem above us. Standing completely erect can carry a risk of arrogance. Instead, we walk with dignity, grounded in the awareness that Hashem controls the world. Rashi's komemiyut is not a contradiction to this. The bracha is koma zekufa, standing upright with dignity and independence and fearing no human, but intrinsically fearing Hashem. The Netzivan HaMekdavar comments that an animal that has been under a yoke, even after the yoke is removed, often still keeps its head down. He explains that this reflects something about Bnei Yisrael after our long years of Galut. We can remain conditioned to a posture of caution, not naturally standing fully upright or free. You can see echoes of this in the world today, with anti-Semitism and pressures still very much present. There is often a tendency to stay in the background, sometimes socially, sometimes professionally, less willing to take on visibility or leadership. The bracha of Komimiyut is that not only does Hashem remove the yoke, He actually stands us upright to walk, as Avraham's Lech Lecha, to use all our physical possessions and walk through our own spiritual journey. I envision it like the chut shel chesed, the thread of kindness that Hashem lifted Queen Esther as she made her way through the palace, giving her strength, calm, and inner wherewithal to proceed on her mission. And that kind of walking is not just personal confidence. It is a responsibility we can only uphold with Hashem lifting us. We use this same language in Birkat HaMazon. Hashem will remove the yoke off of all of us, v'hu yolichenu komimiyut le'artzenu, walk us upright to our land. And in Shacharit, the brachos of Kriya Shema, v'vi'enu l'shalom me'arba kanfot ha'aretz, bring us to peace from the four corners of the world, v'tolichenu komimiyut le'artzenu, and lead us upright to our land. Komimiyut le'artzenu, true komimiyut walking is an unfolding process that is Hashem's promised bracha, to be physically free, independent in our bechira, proud of our accomplishments, walking straight and tall. This can only happen with the trilogy described in Parashat Behar, us, Bnei Yisrael, humbly with our God, Ani Hashem Elokechem, with the Torah, only in our land, beloved, holy Eretz Yisrael. Like a symphony that's been building all along, this is the final movement, not louder, but clearer, not chaotic, but complete, with purity and holiness. Every theme we've heard, Shabbos, the land, individual dignity, interpersonal relationships, Avodat Hashem, and our relationship with Him, all our choices come together in harmony. It ends in movement. We step onto the stage, tall and poised, with clarity, as the music resolves into a dance of blessings. Chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek. May we find continued strength in the beautiful words of our eternal Torah. We daven to see peace as a nation in Israel, peace and clarity within ourselves, and that with true simcha, may we continue to dance.